This is the Mosh Pit Backstage podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
Dino Cazares is the guitarist of industrial metal band Fear Factory, who've released 9 albums, depending on how you count, throughout their long history, the latest being Genexus. They will be touring Australia in June, playing at the Prince of Wales in Melbourne on the 4th. Dino, how are we?
I'm doing great. I'm here in sunny California.
Oh, very, very nice. So my understanding is that as part of this tour, you're doing what you're calling the Regenerator, playing songs from your extensive back catalogue. What prompted you to take this approach to choosing your set list for this particular tour?
That's a hard one. You know, it's definitely really something that me and Bert discuss a lot, and we try to pick, you know, the best song that we feel... you know, the fans are going to like for us to play live. I mean, sure, you got to play all the classics, but, you know, you got to throw some, obviously, we got to throw some new songs in there and, you know, try to pick some rare songs that we hardly play at all. So we're actually still going through the process of picking the right songs, actually, at the moment. So
when you're just picking the set list, do you sort of have to practice the songs extensively beforehand, or are you kind of comfortable with a variety of different songs?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, we definitely do have to practice the set because you want to see how it flows. So, you know, if it flows right, if it feels right, then obviously I think it's going to convey, you know, that way to the fans, because you want to make sure the fans are satisfied. You know, people pay money to come see you. You want to make sure that you play all the songs that they love to hear. And, you know, like I said, we throw some rare songs in there as well, too. But you know, you want to keep everybody satisfied and try to play as much as possible, and as many great songs as you possibly can.
So, what's key to getting that flow together?
What we usually kind of do is we do like blocks. You know, we'll do 3 or 4 songs from Obsolete in a row. You know, we'll do like, you know, a few songs from D-Manufacturer in a row, and then we do songs from you know, Digimortal in a row. We kind of like do it like that. You know, there are songs that flow great on the record. So, Shock, Edgecrusher, Smash, Devour, and, you know, something else, maybe Resurrection. You know, those 4 songs flow on the record. So, you know, I'm sure they would flow great live. But we don't know exactly yet, but we're going to try to throw a lot of different stuff, you know, that like we haven't done yet, you know. But overall, you know, you want to keep everybody satisfied and you want to make sure that the set flows well. That's very important if you want to do a really good show, you know.
Definitely. So you were playing the entire D-Manufacture, your second album, last year. How is it, you know, different to play an album all the way through live?
Well, obviously, it works really well. That kind of goes back to how it flows live. Obviously, if it's going to flow on the record, it's going to flow live as well. You know, so when you do a record in its entirety, you know, you want to try to play it and do the spacing in between each song like it is on the record, just to make it feel like you're actually just listening to the record. You know, but you know, in this case, us coming back, you know, we're going to try to throw a lot of different songs in it on the set list. But yeah, we've been doing the 20-year anniversary. We did it last year. I believe we did it two years ago in Australia. We did Soundwave a year ago, but we didn't play the album in its entirety on Soundwave, but because we had already done it in Australia. But now we're going to do it in the U.S., where we're doing D-Manufacture in its entirety. But when we come to Australia, it's going to be songs. It's going to be, you know, a good solid hour and a half of classic Fear Factory tracks.
So, discussing the D-Manufacturer more broadly, a lot of bands tend to release an album, you know, first 3 records, and people often tout it as their greatest record, and I think many people would say that beat about D-Manufacturer. Does that put any sort of pressure on you guys? Do you ever sort of consider, how does this sound compared to D-Manufacture? Do you think about that at all?
It's definitely crossed our minds, a few times, but it's not really anything that it concerns. I'm not really too concerned about it when I'm writing a record. I'm not trying to, make it better than any other record. Those records are classic, and they were, important to people when they first heard that record. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people, a lot of Fear Factory fans who are new, and they never heard D-Manufacture yet. Or they're just now discovering it. You know what I mean? So when we make a new record, we just try to make it as best as we possibly can. I don't try to say, hey, let's make it better than Obsolete. Let's make it better than D-Manufacture. No, we don't say that at all. We just say, look, let's add another classic record to our catalog.
So in terms of your recent output, Mechanized, The Industrialist, and Genexus, from my perspective, I feel like... I was trying to think about how to word this question, because I sort of want to pass the difference between they've got a good sound, but they don't sound the same as such, but I feel like you've set into a really good groove with them. They're all come out, they have, I think, the right balance between the heavy and the more sort of soft, clean vocals. How have you kind of achieved that? Because some of your albums in the past, there's been a lot of sort of change between them.
Every record we try to do something a little bit different than the others. You know what I mean? Like when we went to do Mechanized, we were like, okay, this is my first record back into the band. I wanted to make a statement. We wanted to make a statement because the band had kind of like been gone for like a few years. And so when I came back, I was like, okay, we're going to make a brutal record. We're going to make a heavy album. And Mechanized was pretty heavy. It's probably... The speed has probably been the fastest that we've ever done as far as tempos and, the intensity of the songs. And then when we went to do The Industrialist, Bert was like, okay, let's do some more industrial stuff. That was when we used the drum program and we had a lot of keyboards and it sounded very, it had more of an industrial element. And then when we did Genexus, we're like, okay, let's bring back some of the groove elements. And that's what we did. We brought back some of the groove element, and it works really well live. We noticed that when we do songs like Soul Hacker and stuff like that, and, songs like that, that it really gets the crowd jumping and going. And, and Bert's vocal style, he's been doing it since day one, since the band first started. He's been combining his vocals with heavy and melodic, and that's pretty much become a staple in metal music today. That's one thing that we never want to change. Because that's who we are. That's what Fear Factory is. And, people love it. People know us for that. So, if it ain't fixed, why change it? If it ain't broken, why change it?
In terms of that vocal style, you've been a very, I think, influential band, a very innovative band in many aspects. A lot of bands cite you as influence, who I think are some of the... top metal bands today. But out of that, I think the combination of the harsh vocals and the clean vocals are one of the most interesting things you guys did, because you wouldn't notice it today, but that wasn't done at the time. But did you ever think, hey, we're doing something new, we're doing something kind of really out there?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say it was really out there. We were definitely taking a chance, because back in the early 90s, there's a lot of brutal music coming out. There's a lot of, English death metal and grindcore, and all that stuff was really big at the time. Songs like, bands like Morbid Angel, Carcass, Napalm Death, all that stuff was massive, and it was growing. So we were like, we kind of came out of that scene a little bit, and we were like, okay, how can we stand out? And once we discovered that both Burton could do both, we decided to go with it, and we decided, let's take a chance. When we first came out, we definitely got ridiculed for it. A lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people saying that, that kind of melodic vocals didn't belong on a heavy song, and a lot of people didn't like it. But eventually, when D-Manufacture came out, our second album, people were like, wow, it went to a whole new level. Bert, we really perfected our sound. We really honed in on what we wanted to be like and sound like. everything from production to songwriting to Bert's vocals. You know, we all grew as a band and as songwriters. That, you know, people started to look at us much differently, and, you know, it definitely opened the doors for us as well, you know. And like I said, you know, some people don't, you know, say that we're an influence. But that's okay, because, you know, we've been around for 25 years. And over the years, you know, a band like, let's say, Killswitch Engage could be influenced by Fear Factory, you know, with the vocal style. But then a new kid will get into Killswitch but never heard Fear Factory and be like, list Killswitch as an influence. But if you really go back, it was Fear Factory who really started that influence. So somewhere down the line, the new generation of kids, you know, weren't exactly influenced by Fear Factory. But history shows that where it came from, you know, and I think it's really important that new kids and new bands and new artists kind of know where it all started. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of kids now who are kind of going back and searching on the internet and finding all these old school bands. They're like, wow, this is amazing, you know, all the old school thrash elements, thrash bands that are coming, that are getting popular because a lot of kids on the internet are searching for it. You know, bands like Testament, Anthrax, and Exodus and stuff like that have had a resurgence over the years just because kids are starting to Google it. So hopefully, you know, people will start Googling us, Fear Factory, and realizing where a lot of this came from.
I think one of the most confrontational aspects of it is the idea of man-machine merging, in a sense, the singularity. And in certain kind of limited sense, we've already seen it happen in kind of way. Do you see it as presenting a challenge in the way you tend to more depict it, or opportunities?
Both. It's a challenge and an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to, you know, back then when we started doing Fear Factory and the concepts that we were doing, I mean, most people just saw it in sci-fi movies. You know, technology has a really... Back in the early 90s, we didn't really have cell phones, you know, that were like, you know, like they are today. You know, people had brick cell phones, you know, and you had to have a lot of money to really afford something like that. You know what I mean? Especially the cost of what it would cost us to make a call. You know, nowadays it's like, who has a home phone anymore? I don't even have a home phone. I just have a cell phone. You know, it's like you don't even need it. But how technology has grown over the years and what we were talking about from the beginning, a lot of people had no idea where it was going to go. Now, all this technology that we've talked about before has become our day-to-day lives, and people don't even think about it. People don't even think about, you know, where technology can really go and how much it can help humanity and destroy humanity, you know. So conceptually, that's always been part of our... It's always been there. You know, of course, conceptually, we were talking about other things. Of course, social awareness and, you know, we've always had an underlining of, you know, religion. We talked a lot about religion. And it kind of goes back with the name of the name Fear Factory. What Fear Factory means. It means anything that, you know, manufactures fear. You know, and it could be the church. It could, you know, it could be religion. Government, it could be, you know, obviously politics, and technology, you know what I mean? And we've sang about all those different concepts. And, you know, we try to sing them in a worldly sense where people can interpret it in any way they want to. And, you know, whether people like it or not, change is coming, and it's been here, and it's growing, and it's going to keep evolving. And it's going to keep changing. And, you know, those are the things that we really like singing about.
Final question. I believe it's Super Tuesday in America. Do you have any thoughts about the U.S. presidential election?
Oh, my God. I really don't want to get into politics.
No, that's all right.
I feel bad. I feel bad. I really feel bad for our country because we have nobody good to vote for. Oh, my God.
That's fair.
I mean, the closest thing I would say, Bernie Sanders would be the closest thing. You know, Hillary Clinton obviously has experience in the White House, and Donald Trump is just a joke. And if he does win, and I'm definitely not voting for him, you know, I'm moving to Australia.
Well, I think we'd be more than happy to have you.
All right, thanks. I hope I answered the questions the way you wanted. You know, I gave a lot of insight.
No, you did. You did. I'll just outro you, and then I'll let you go. So, Fear Factory on their will be embarking on their latest tour in Australia in June, playing on the Prince of Wales on the 4th. Dino, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. I just want to say one last thing.
Sure.
You know, Fear Factory are pretty much veterans of going to Australia. We've been going there since 1993, and you know, we love it every time we go. We love the people there. We love the culture there. We love the food there. The shows are always amazing, and we always can't, you know, we always look forward to going there. Every time our manager calls us and says, "You ready to go? Pack your bags, mate. We're going to Australia," and everybody's excited. So we can't wait to be there.
Well, as a country which is a bit difficult to get to, we really appreciate it. We thank you for showing us some love.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Oldry of the Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1449.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Uberhead.
Hey, everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin.